The following views presented in this half hour do not reflect the views of KDVS, KDVS sponsors, and the University of California. It's 4:30 p.m., and you're listening to the news broadcast on KDVS 90.3 FM in Davis. I'm Camilla Kudelska, and it's Monday, October the 20th. In today's KDVS news broadcast, a cover of the UC Davis Primate Center protest.
So after I found out about the new multi-million dollar smoke inhalation facility that they're planning on building, and I was just kind of curious what it was about, and I started looking into it, and I read an article online, and they displayed a photo of this giant glass box, which is the chamber that they put the primates in to inhale the toxic smoke in order to perform tests on them.
Also, an interview with the newly appointed Vice Chancellor of Finance and Resource Management at UC Davis.
So I think coming to Davis, I'm very excited about the opportunity to continue some of the conversations that I know have been had in the past several years, to listen to folks that have already been working on the 2020 initiative and understand a little bit better from a dean's perspective and the provost where the academic priorities are. And I think by my understanding that side of the equation very well, which would be my highest priority.
That and more later on. But now, the weekly weather report from the UC Davis Weather Department.
Hi, Aggies. Hope you enjoyed the rain today. You can expect more later in the week. As is the case with most of October, we are transitioning from warmer, drier weather to cooler, moister weather, and this week is no exception. High temperatures for the week are as follows. Tuesday, high of 72, low 49. Wednesday and Thursday, high around 75 and low of 55. Friday and Saturday, high of 74 and low of 54. And finally Sunday, expect a high of 73 and a low of 52. Winds will be calm and no major wind events are expected in the next week. We will be seeing some cloudiness on Wednesday and Thursday. The clouds beginning on Wednesday will be high-level clouds, or clouds that are above 18,000 feet. But by Thursday, expect to see some low-level clouds. Friday is our next chance at rain. Right now, it looks like this storm will produce a moderate amount of rainfall sometime between Friday afternoon and Saturday morning. Climatically, we are going to be about normal temperatures throughout the week. But without a major storm, it is looking like we are going to be below normal rainfall totals. The NCDC, or National Climatic Data Center, is predicting above normal temperatures for the next 3 months, while rain is expected to be around normal. This normal rainfall means that the current drought will persist, but not improve over the next 3 months. This is typical weather for a moderate El Nino in the Northern California area.
You're tuned in to KDVS 90.3, and this is the KDVS News Broadcast. For this week's Street Talk, reporter Mark DeDios and Angeli Clarice Lata asked students whether they think social justice is trending.
I think it's always trending. It's just like people have different ideas of it. Like, people aren't realizing, like they have different, I'm very bad with words because I'm a scientist, but kind of like they have different views on what's right and what's wrong, and it's kind of like, it's always trending, I guess. Words.
Okay, and how about you?
Yes, I should always be trending if it isn't already. I think everyone does have their opinion about social justice, just not everyone is as vocal about it.
Okay, and what about social awareness? Like, I suppose awareness, sensitivity.
I think it really depends on the person and the culture that they come from. I think that everybody has a different interpretation of a social norm, as they say.
Okay.
I guess for me, it's kind of like back in the 70s, things seem different right now. So we're just kind of trying to accept new things, and we're just kind of moving forward. Everything seems new at first, but then we kind of learn to accept it.
I mean, I'd say that we accept them, but I wouldn't say it's a trending topic right now.
I would say 2 weeks ago it was.
2 weeks ago?
With the whole Emma Watson thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So it's not anymore.
Yeah, I wouldn't say anything since it goes in topic. Not in my group.
Well, yeah, are you referring to, like social media in general? Like,
on campus. on campus.
Yeah, she's good. No, I would say no.
Okay. How about you?
No.
No?
Not trendy as Zeke, yeah.
Do you guys support it and stuff?
Social justice and all?
Yeah.
Yeah, obviously.
All right, cool.
If someone doesn't support it, get them out of here.
That was a KDVS News Street Talk asking students whether social justice is a trending topic at the moment. This is a KDVS News broadcast brief update on top news of last week. Turkey has agreed to aid Kurdish forces in the fight for Kobani. Iraqi Kurdish forces, officially known as Peshmerga, are now allowed to cross its border with Syria to aid in fighting militants from the Islamic State, more commonly known as ISIS. ISIS has overtaken a Syrian town called Kobani for more than a month, the Turkish foreign minister announced today. This is an important change of opinion by the Turkish government. Originally, the Turkish government stated that it would not allow fighters or weapons to cross its border in order to protect the town. This greatly frustrated Kurdish leaders and Washington. This decision, along with Americans deciding to drop ammunition and small arms to resupply Kobani, are reflecting the rising international pressure to push back the Islamic State. The New Zealand artist Lorde, hit song Royals, is getting caught up with the controversy of the coming up World Series between San Francisco Giants and Kansas City Royals. San Francisco radio station KFOG and KOIT have officially banned the song Royals from being played until the end of the World Series. KOIT program director Brian Figula said in a statement that listeners had called for the ban. Jim Richards, program director of KFOG in San Francisco, said the station didn't want to play a song that repeatedly says Royals while rooting for the hometown team. We're all about the Giants here, he added. A Kansas City station responded to this ban with plans to play the song Royals every hour from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. on Tuesday, the first day of the series. You're tuned in to KDVS 90.3, and this is the KDVS News broadcast.
For KDVS News, Mark DeDios. On October 14th, Chancellor Kotecki appointed Dave Lawler as the new Vice Chancellor of Finance Resource Management. I held a phone interview with him just yesterday to learn more about our new staff member.
So I'm curious, for what reasons did Chancellor Kotecki appoint you as the new Vice Chancellor of Finance and Resource Management?
Yeah, thanks for the question. So I think it's a combination of some of the private sector experience that I've had, everything from banking through high tech, CFO, COO type positions. But in particular, in the last 7 years, I've been the Senior Associate Vice President for Finance at George Washington University. And at GW, we have some of the same kind of challenges and opportunities that UC Davis sees. And in particular, one thing that I think stood out was the Innovation Task Force at GW. That was a presidential initiative that was started in 2008. And this was the university's attempt to essentially double the purchasing power of the endowment at GW, which is $60 million per year. And so I've led that initiative, which has culminated in a recurring $27 million a year for the budget. And so I think there's some parallels there in terms of not only the new revenue opportunities and cost efficiencies and research and fundraising raises, but more importantly, the way that we've invested those funds, all being plowed back into faculty research, academic programs, and support. So I think a culmination of those experiences matched with what the University of California, Davis, is trying to accomplish, along with the desire to have the campuses be more financially independent and perhaps historically, I think we're all contributing components.
I then asked how he would incorporate these experiences into his new position at UC Davis.
So, you know, much of the conversation at GW started by listening to the faculty and researchers and students in terms of what their specific interests were and if they had additional funds to invest, you know, what those areas would be. And so we started the conversation at GW by asking many, many people, in fact, hundreds of people, If they had $60 million to spend, how would they invest those funds? And as you can imagine, there are many, many ideas that come when you ask that question. And so it created a great opportunity to have a conversation within the community because as a financial leader, you know, I was in a position where I was listening and trying to really understand and be in tune with what faculty, researchers, and students were telling me. And as a result of that, it really gave us a great indication of what the opportunities were. And so when we led IPF as an initiative, the focus was always on the investment side. But of course, to invest, we needed to be wise stewards of the resources that we had and how they would be reallocated. So I think coming to Davis, I'm very excited about the opportunity to continue some of the conversations that I know have been had in the past several years, to listen to folks that have already been working on the 2020 initiative and understand a little bit better from a dean's perspective and the provost where the academic priorities are. And I think by my understanding that side of the equation very well, which would be my highest priority in the first several months, I can do a better job then of trying to help on the financial and resource management side of the equation to make sure that we're wise steward of what we have, that the investments are being made in alignment with the chancellor and the senior leadership team's priorities, which of course will be the priorities of the schools ultimately, and play a role there in supporting those efforts.
Senator Amelia Helen last week mentioned talks of increasing the amount of money given to ACCD by the university. I asked Dave's opinions of this.
Well, you know, it's interesting. Obviously, I haven't been a party to any of those conversations so far, but I will tell you that affordability is something that I spent a lot of time thinking about in the last several years. And so, you know, my commitment in general as a guiding principle will be to do everything that we can to make sure that tuition and fees are as low as possible, you know, on a net cost basis, that we can remain highly competitive, which I think is priority number one in many respects. And so, you know, you want to look at the sources of income and make sure that as you're balancing the investment side and the expense structure with those sources, that you're doing everything you can in the categories that are discussed. So, you know, in terms of specific referendum items, you know, certainly there's a process for that, and I know that the student government plays a critical role in that and reaches out to other constituents there on campus. I'd love to be part of those conversations and see how those options fit with the broader budget, which is something that, of course, I care a lot about as the CFO is doing short and medium term planning around budgets. But a driver will be to take very seriously any discussion around fee increases and, in fact, do everything that we can to improve affordability over the long term. I'm pleased to see even reports this weekend about how well UC Davis does in terms of low-income financial aid in particular, and they ranked the highest in California, I think number 8 of the several hundred schools that were rated. So I think that's a great testimony to what the campus has done to think about this priority and do everything that we can to make sure that the value coming from a UC Davis education continues to be tremendous, and look forward to those conversations.
For KDVS News, Mark DeDios.
For KDVS News, I'm Isabel Bola. On Friday,
October 17th,
a peaceful protest was held at the UC Davis California National Primate Research Center as part of a campaign entitled Primate Liberation Week. We spoke with campaign organizer Lindsay Rubin to learn more about it.
Primate Liberation Week is an event that's organized by the group Stop Animal Exploitation Now, also known by their acronym SAIN, S-A-E-N. So that's their event. So our primate protest event is in solidarity with their Primate Liberation Week event.
Primate Liberation Week occurs on both a national and international scale. Lindsay Rubin explains its focus.
everywhere around the country and also internationally, giving animal advocates the opportunity to peacefully protest and raise awareness about primates that are imprisoned in these facilities and are being experimented on.
Lindsay Rubin became active in the campaign after hearing about UC Davis's plan to build a multi-million dollar inhalation lab.
Started the UC Davis Primates Deserve Better campaign just about 8 months ago after I found out about the new multi-million dollar smoke inhalation facility that they're planning on building. And I was just kind of curious what it was about, and I started looking into it, and I read an article online, and they displayed a photo of this giant glass box, which is the chamber that they put the primates in to inhale the toxic smoke in order to perform tests on them. So I just kind of went from there, and I started doing research, and from there I kind of built this campaign around spreading awareness locally and beyond about the fact that there's over 5,000 primates that are being experimented on at the Primate Center here in Davis.
The protest, which occurred on Friday at the UC Davis Primate Center, was focused on raising awareness in hopes that UC Davis will follow suit with other universities. Lindsay Rubin explains more.
So the main goal of our protest today is to raise awareness that the primate facility actually exists in Davis, because many people in our community don't even know that this goes on behind closed doors here in Davis. And also we want to just bring awareness and allow the university to realize that there are people who really want this to end. And we hope that UC Davis will follow suit of other universities like Harvard University. They're closing their primate lab by 2015 thanks to more economic models that don't involve vivisection and other experiments on primates.
Stop Animal Exploitation Now, commonly known as SANE, is the animal rights group responsible for closing Harvard University's Primate Center. Lindsay Rubin explains how peaceful protesting made this possible.
Closure of the Harvard Primate Lab is definitely a result of SANE's tactics of pressuring the university and getting the information out there to the public. And I know they did TV commercials and other peaceful protests.
UC Davis's Primate Center has been cited in the past by the USDA for negligence. Unfortunately, most of what goes on at the UC Davis Primate Center stays relatively under wraps, and the public is not often informed of what goes on behind closed doors.
USDA citations, 2013, 19 primates were found dead at the center, and 14 of them were infants. And we just want to raise awareness about these kind of negligent citations that UC Davis fails to really share with the public.
We spoke to some protesters this past Friday at the UC Davis Primate Center. Some of the protesters included active community members as well as UC Davis students. Here's what they had to say.
UC Davis is very proud of their new inhalation room where they are putting baby monkeys to inhale who knows what, because they won't tell anybody what it is that they inhale. But I think we probably already know that smoking causes cancer, and we don't need an inhalation room. UC Davis received a grant of $10 million, which is one reason why they will not stop their primate research program. Because as we all know, in corporations of all kinds, it's all about money. That's all it's about.
Any animals, like, should not going through this torture things. You know, this research thing, this is very cruel and, like, outrageous. And, you know, we do not, like, encourage this at all. That is not science. That's a violence.
I think it's really important to bring awareness to this and, you know, make it known that it's not acceptable to take lives just because we think we're slightly superior than like an ape or whatever they're testing on. And yeah, we should use our voices for good. And we're part of a team and we should take a stand for it.
For KDVS News, this is Isabel Bola.
That was reporter Isabel Bola reporting the UC Davis Primate Center protest. This is the KDVS News broadcast. For KDVS News, this is Camilla Kodelska. This past weekend, Mouman Chance performed two shows at the Mandavi Center. Mouvement Chance, a visual theater company, is starting their 40th anniversary world tour in Davis. We talked to one of the co-founders, Floriana Frazetto, about the company's inspirations.
40 years ago, this theater group was founded. What was the inspiration behind it?
Okay, so Andres and Bernie studied in Paris at the Lecoq School, which is a theater and movement and mask, where you work a lot of on creativity, individual creativity, improvisation. It's basically a lot to do with Commedia dell'arte, and that was their studies. My studies were more classic mime and theater, and the three of us met, and they had already started somehow with the clay masks and some abstract shapes, and then I came in, but they were speaking. They had spoken numbers, and so I said, you know, we have to go to America. America's great. You'll see, they'll love us, but let's take out the words. And that's what we worked on as a threesome. The inspiration was mankind and its miscommunication. The second and probably most important is that we've always been attracted to visual arts, sculpture, painting. That's where we took the name Mouvement Chance from the Bauhaus, which was art movement in the 20s that Hitler destroyed. Oskar Schlemmer, who was a very famous artist, painter, and architect, he did some experiments with mimes. And one of these experiments was called Mouvement Chance. So what does Mouvement Chance mean? Mouvement comes from vermoumen, which means to mimetize, to cover yourself. Let's say to mask yourself. And chance comes from the French la chance, so luck, fortune. So it's the luck of covering yourself. And we identified ourselves with that name. And of course, we had no money whatsoever. No one believed in us with this horrible name, which sounded like medicine. Secondhand shop at flea markets and fine for a franc here and a franc there, a dollar here and a dollar there. Something that would inspire us, like a jerry can or a pillow. And then we just built our world of miscommunication around those objects that we found, you know? And we started out performing in very, very small houses, a lot on the streets with the clay mask, which is an incredible mask because it's done with a very kind of silly putty, but it's not silly putty. It's a mixture we've developed ourselves. And they transform as quick as words, their faces. So one is beautiful, the other one is less beautiful. And of course, the less beautiful one wants to be the most beautiful. And so he's adding until he becomes a lion, he becomes an elephant, he becomes different monsters. So it's this kind of wonderful and creative miscommunication. But our creativity was not for you just to look at and accept. It's for you also to interpret, therefore to use also your creativity, your imagination, your poetic state and critical status. So it's really a show that works for all ages. It's a show that youngsters who are now into this fantastic communication in which you should be born only with two fingers love, because it's emotional and it's poetic, and who doesn't understand or love emotions in poetry? So it's really a fantastic tool to travel the world with and hear out how basically deep down that child that we awaken you guys is alive.
Have the programs changed or developed or
throughout the years? Well, the first program we created in 70, we opened up in a festival in France. We toured the world with for 10 years. We came to America for 10 shows. Boom! It was a major success. Boom! We went on Broadway. We never expected we would stay there 3 years.
Wow.
You know, for the first 4 weeks, it was empty. And then we said, okay, let's write postcards. We're on Broadway. And then it started selling out for 3 years. So it was really the first show with no words, no music, just visual potential language that had success. So then we created a second show in the 80s, in the late 80s, with which we toured another 15 years. Then in the year 2000, we started thinking, Bernie and I, our colleague had died with AIDS, unfortunately. And so we started thinking of creating a new show, which we did. And this, what we are presenting here in Davis in your beautiful theater, is a mix of best of our 40 years. So you can see the evolution from the beginning of our creations to today.
Did the beginning programs have themes or any ideas kind of that centered around it?
Or? It's full of ideas. The themes are very basic because without words you cannot explore very deep themes.
Right.
You're not anecdotal, so you remain very abstract. So you can understand it one way and the person sitting next to you in another way, but everyone will understand it.
Right.
And that is, of course, a lot of work in the improvisation, in the mounting of it, until you say, okay, it's not three times the same gesture, it's one time the same gesture, and stay so that they can read it. The themes are always very human and very emotional.
Right.
You know, it's like the blob. The blob is next to a rostrum. It's like a big table, and it wants to get up. It's fighting to get up. It's fighting for gravity. It's like a little child who wants to reach for the jelly, right? And can keep sliding off, and finally it makes it, and then it's so tired that it slides away. You know, so it's very simple themes that each one can identify.
So every show is kind of a little bit
Touch different, because out there the audience is different. You know, like here I'm hoping that a lot of students will come, right? And then they will close their telephones, they will close and just let themselves go and play with us, you know, because it's very playful. And we aim to bring out the child in you, not to make you feel like babies, don't misunderstand me, but just to play. It's really an arena of playfulness, Mama Chance.
Are there any specific acts that stand out to you?
Yeah, of course. There is a white sheet, which is more the work of a marionettiste, a marionette player, performer. So it's held from Philip in his hands, and hearing the audience appunto, so if we have the air conditioning, you can't really feel or hear properly, and then he gets wind, so it's very negative for us. And then he starts shaping faces, you know, and according how they react, he shapes the different faces. It's extremely difficult, and it's really very sensitive towards any draft there is. We have a big inflatable heart at the end that shapes also different faces, that rolls almost onto the audience.
Wow.
You know, so very simple shapes and that are very pertinent to our type of work.
Right, so there's a lot of interaction with the
audience. Absolutely. We count on that.
Yeah.
We count on that.
Right.
Of course, we don't appreciate flash photography. No, I need to say it because, you know, we see very little. We feel through the audience one another. We, of course, always have more or less the same spacing. But if there is a flash, it's like we lose it.
Right.
You know? And so then the show suffers.
And also, I saw online that you guys offer workshops.
I offer a workshop based on a jerry can mask with a lot of recycled junk.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then I guide and provoke people to make their own mask, and then I guide them for an improv hour, and depending. I mean, I have a 1 day, 5 hour workshop and a 2 day. And the 2 day then maybe brings 15 to 20 minutes of a little story that they work out. You know, I just guide them. It sounds great. And what is interesting is that I've done it with all kinds of people. I started it for children. And soon enough, I understood that adults loved it. And then I was asked once by bankers, and I said, oh my God, bankers, come on, they're going to know nothing. It's going to be boring. Well, let me tell you, I had so much fun. The guys were so creative. Wow. It was amazing. And they came up with incredible stories, even speaking bad about bankers, without speaking, of course. But, you know, they were doing the one, you know, who is kind of greedy, who wants the money. I had such a good time. So it's really for all people. And you don't necessarily need any theatrical education. The less you know, the more you know, actually, because the freer you are, you know. So it's really a lot of fun to do it.
That was a KDVS News coverage on the Mouman Chance Visual Performance Theater Company that performed at the Mandavi Center this past weekend. This brings us to the end of the KDVS News broadcast. More news can be found on Twitter, KDVS News, and website kdvs.org for news updates throughout the week. Thank you.